this is the Gadget Grill with Lee Stark, which is this strange strapping voice here, and on the other side, Gary Stark.
And a very good evening to you, Lee. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone who hasn't heard us for the past year, which is like only, what, 4 days ago?
Yeah, something, well, a week ago.
Yeah. Well, no, the year only began a few days ago, so I'm right, sort of.
But they haven't heard us since last year.
Oh, so I guess that's true, yeah.
So what have you been up to?
I have been animating. One of these days I'll have to tell people about this. I've been animating with computers and drawings and stuff. But that's not what we're talking about tonight.
Okay, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we're talking about something that actually has to do with learning about things. You could learn about animation, you could learn about psychology, you could learn about going into space. Tonight we're talking about OpenCourseWare, which is an initiative that not many people know about, which can let you learn about things like at a university. You won't get the degree for it, but you also don't have to spend the thousands of dollars that TAFE or other university courses will charge you just to learn the information.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the year off, learning something that you otherwise would have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for, basically.
Right. And if you want the degree?
If you want the degree, you have to apply for the university. But a lot of people I know don't really care about the degree so much. They just want to learn the stuff.
Oh, okay. What else we got on the show today?
We've got some news, and we've even got a useless gadget in the
Now, you want to do something special with this useless gadget today, don't you?
I want to set it on fire, but I don't think it'll let me. I'll just say what I have today with the useless gadget. We actually have our useless gadget in our... We're not in the shed, are we? That's a different day.
The shed is on Tuesday.
Okay, in our grill, we have our useless gadget, which is a cup warmer, which came with a cup. Cost me $3 at Officeworks. We're going to see if it actually warms stuff up. It runs off of USB power, so I'm going to run it off my MSI netbook here that I normally use for research. And we're going to run this throughout the course of the show and see if it's hot.
I think that we should actually keep this as a permanent addition to the Gadget Grill so that we can keep our in-studio coffee hot, if it works.
Yeah, if it works, yeah, if it keeps things hot. So if I yell in pain at random segments, we know it's working. Like the cowbell you wanted.
Okay, yeah.
But more flesh-burning-like.
Yeah, okay, well, flesh-burning can be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
No, depending upon whose flesh and where and what.
It'll be mine, so, you know, the laughter will be everyone else's.
That's okay, then. Yeah. That's okay.
First, before that, we have a song.
We do.
We've got Tom Jones and Jules Holland, two great... I think one's British, one's Welsh, and this is St.
They're both British. One is English, one is Welsh.
Oh, whatever. Freaking differences. This is St. James Infirmary Blues. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 2RDJ in Sydney. And if you want to find out about anything we're talking about tonight or listen to past shows, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now we've got some news for you, though.
Yes, we do. High-tech gadgets are distracting drivers and causing accidents, authorities in Queensland are saying. In-car DVDs, GPS navigators and iPods have joined mobile phones as modern conveniences, which have become inconveniences.
I don't really see the point of having a DVD player in a car. I'm just going to say that if you've got kids in the back of your car, you can give them a Nintendo DS or some other portable games device. They'll be entertained surely by that, or they'll have their own iPod. You know, I don't really see the point in having a screen. I saw this one guy coming back from somewhere in a cab the other week, and he had two screens in the front on his driver's seat, on the driver's side, and on the back, on the passenger side, he also had the screens in the back, but really confusing me, he had two on the back seats where you'd normally have the rear windshield. I was really confused by that.
I can remember when I was riding around in Shenzhen in China in the back of a cab, and they had DVDs running, and they had the screens in the back of the front seat so that as a passenger in the back seat you could watch movies and stuff like that. And I can't remember what the movie was, although they were showing us some old TV show. And I was trying to figure out whether they were more advanced because they had the TV screens in the back of the seat, or whether they were less advanced because of the show that they were showing.
Oh, in New York at one point, I think they had Seinfeld, not the show, but they had Seinfeld actually introducing what you would like, what New York was like, and it was a great tourist attempt, and it was loved.
The guy needs the money.
Yeah, shut up. What else have you got aside for that completely duh? I mean, seriously, yeah. Gadgets like that. Yeah, yeah, of course. Duh.
South Korea's LG Electronics has unveiled what it describes as the world's first watch-shaped mobile video phone.
That's right. There was an Australian company a few years ago who came out with the concept of a watch touchscreen PDA phone. It never actually came out, and a lot of people were very angry who placed orders for it. However, this is the first watch video phone. I don't really... I mean, if you're a fan of Power Rangers or Dick Smith, this is a great...
Dick Tracy.
Okay, Dick Tracy. Yeah, not Dick Smith. Yeah, good point. I don't know who Dick Tracy... are they one the same, Dick Smith, walking around in a detective outfit selling things to people?
Richard Cranium.
Yeah. All right, so...
So what have you got?
I've got this waste of security money that has happened in Tokyo.
Yeah,
a girl who works as a waitress. A waitress is a very different job in Tokyo. Sort of like a model who...
Hostess.
It's a hostess, yeah. A girl returning to Tokyo, a South Korean girl, entered through Tokyo security at an airport. And because they use biometrics there, so fingerprint scans, she got through on a fake passport and a piece of sticky tape over her finger. Over Tokyo, they have $45 million worth of these biometrics fingerprint scanners installed at their airports, and all it took was a 30-cent piece of sticky tape to get around it.
Reminds me of the security, DRM issue that they had with CDs a few years ago when they introduced this onto CDs. And to get around it, you got to text a colour, put a mark just sort of around the edge of the CD, and it totally overcame this thing.
And yet, to really bug the people who like CDs, then they introduced a format of CD that was actually a different weight and didn't spin in your CD player properly, and as a result didn't work in 90% of the CD players out there. Go them!
Let's hear it for thoughtful... ways of protecting IP on these things. And while we're in Asia and talking about IP, a Chinese court has issued tough sentences to members of a huge software counterfeiting ring which distributed more than US $2 billion worth of fake Microsoft goods. The court in the southern city of Shenzhen, same city I was just talking about, on Wednesday...
Nice and coincidental.
No. Sentenced 11 people to jail terms of up to 6.5 years for making high-quality counterfeit software that was sold in 36 countries.
You know what's disturbing about that? It's probably higher quality than the originals that Microsoft produced.
I was not going to say that. I would never say that.
You probably get a copy of Windows 7 way before, and a better version of Windows 7 way before Microsoft get it out.
The sentences were the stiffest ever meted out for intellectual property rights violations in China. The illegal syndicate based in the southern province of Guangdong pirated versions of 19 of the company's most popular products, which were produced in at least 11 languages.
Was Windows Vista in there? Because it's not a popular product in the slightest.
It doesn't say.
Oh, okay, good. It probably was. Probably Windows XP and Office. I was naming the two.
Yeah. You got any more before I go to this last one?
I've got this decaf thing, this new gadget that's come out. If you drink decaffeinated coffee, I don't know if you're ever worried about not drinking caffeinated coffee. I personally don't understand why you would drink decaffeinated coffee. I mean, part of the coffee is the flavour and the other part's the buzz. It keeps you awake.
I think decaffeinated coffee should be illegal.
It's sort of like drinking bad wine. You should just not drink decaffeinated coffee. You shouldn't drink bad wine. Well, a company have come out with a test strip to make sure your decaffeinated coffee is decaf. I'll just read this quote to you. Hold on. The decaffeinated coffee strip is a test strip. Actually, I don't have a quote. I'll just tell you what it is. It's a test strip, sort of like a pregnancy strip. And you dip it inside the coffee. And when the color changes to whatever color it's supposed to be, you find out that your decaf is actually decaf and not caffeinated. What a waste. Why would...
So if you pee on it, does it tell you if your pee is decaffeinated?
You know, it probably will.
When we lived in Dallas, when I was working at CLR, we had the two big coffee machines in the staff cafeteria.
And one served decaf and the other one served...
One was decaf, one was not. And what I wanted to do, you know that in New York you're not allowed to bring bottles of soda and stuff like that onto the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
I actually did not know that. Next time I'm there, I'll make sure to bring some just to piss them off.
Okay. Well, what they sell instead is that you can buy water that is caffeinated.
Yeah, and you can buy mints that are caffeinated too.
Yeah.
Mint, not mince, the, not the beef stuff, mint, okay, like okay. A Tic Tac.
Yeah, well, you can buy this water that is caffeinated. And what I would love to have done while I was in Dallas was put the caffeinated water into the decaf coffee machine.
Would the boiling process have completely gotten rid of the caffeine?
Well, if it would, then why would you bother to have caffeinated coffee?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
You know, sort of it works both ways in that. So I would suggest that no, it doesn't. Of course, then you could use the caffeinated water in the caffeinated coffee and you'd get a double buzz.
So like a jolt cola for people who really like coffee. A long black without having to taste it the foul long black.
This would be a very, very, very long black. A long, strong black.
A strong black. Like a strong black man.
Right.
I have one. Other one, I think.
If okay.
If you have a Nokia phone, which a lot of people do, that runs on Series 60, which is Nokia's Symbian operating system, be wary of random SMS messages sent to you. There's a new virus going around called the Curse of Silence. Basically, you get this random SMS which has an email address that's 32 characters long. And it kind of...
What's it called again?
You're a pain. You're a pain. The curse of silence. You're a pain. It will actually stop you from actually doing any more messages. It's this really bad virus. So just be careful of any SMSs from
just
people you've never heard of.
Just the thing to give to your teenage daughter. Do you have a teenage daughter?
I don't yet. I might. 20, 30 years. That's probably a bit too old. But yeah, very... Very odd teenage daughter at that time, but yeah.
A pilot program in which teenagers used iPods for schoolwork.
Speaking of teenage daughters.
Has increased attendance and increased enthusiasm for homework.
Which is a useful story to end on, actually.
Yes, yes. A class of year eight students, at Shepparton High School in Victoria are the first in Australia and among the first in the world to use iPod touches in the classroom for a global mobile learning project. The students use the handheld media players to search the internet, download music, do quizzes, research and submit assignments and collaborate with a school in Singapore. I think that's great.
Parenthesis, among other things, probably.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. Look, as you'll hear about when we talk about OpenCourseWare in a few minutes, or when I talk about it, because...
I know nothing.
Yeah, it's one area where he can't actually talk about anything.
Well,
for
what
change.
Do you mean one area? There's lots of areas.
One area that we've covered on the show.
One area that I admit to.
Yeah. This is something that has been pioneered by the people with OpenCourseWare. We're bringing iPods into the classroom has been an effective way. I mean, let's face it, giving a kid a laptop, giving a kid an iPod, it's a great way of bringing technology, something they understand, to make a learning experience much more rich.
Yeah,
and I know personally that the idea of like the OLPC, the one laptop per child idea, where you give a laptop to a child, it's a low quality laptop. It doesn't do a whole lot, but the idea that you're trusting technology that can be used for both work, you know, no paper, it's all stored on your computer. You can give them a little bit of game, some educational stuff. The whole concept of entrusting that to a child is automatically going to make that educational experience just that much more valuable, and you're more likely, aside from the bullying and the random people who are going to be pricks about it, this is going to get a lot more kids into learning as opposed to standing outside and pretending they care.
Excellent.
Shall we see how the USB thing's going?
Let's play some music first.
Okay, fine. The USB test coming up after Jason Mraz with Only Human. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 2RDJ in Sydney's Burwood area. And this is Lee Stark.
And Gary Stark.
Which, you might think that we're brothers, we're not.
No, we're
sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now we're going to talk about our feature a bit. Is Bowie going to shut up?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, there we go.
That's as though it's got an auto gain on there and it's staying up. It's not supposed to.
Silent, you stay in your little cage.
Meow, meow.
Imagery I don't need. Right now, we're going to take a look at OpenCourseWare, which is this really cool initiative to learn stuff. Dad, do you like learning things?
Yes.
You like it? You actually like learning things?
The day that I stop learning is the day that I will die.
I said it when I was a kid. That I personally just want to learn. That's really all I want. I think I want to be a constant academic. At the moment, I'm a writer and a journalist, and that helps because I'm always
practices reading and rioting.
Yeah, sometimes, and sometimes I even shoot, take pictures of the rioting. No, I'm as a journalist, I absolutely adore the concept of learning. If I ever have to, if I stop writing, then I've essentially stopped learning. You know, and that's one of the advantages that being a journalist has. Well, OpenCourseWare is a bit like that. OpenCourseWare is an idea started by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology to put educational sources, university degrees, online so people can learn. And we're talking about things like text, books. We're talking about lectures. You can the same sort of lectures that you would normally go to hear. You don't really see a lecture. You go to hear a lecture in universities.
Here a lecture, there a lecture, everywhere a lecture, lecture.
Sometimes I wonder why you lecture. Anyway, you can...
I'm lecturous.
Yeah, as opposed to a leper. Yeah. So with OpenCourseWare, we're talking about you're going to keep talking, aren't you? Can I finish? OpenCourseWare, you can talk when I've done crying out loud. OpenCourseWare is about learning from the sake of a free place, sort of like open source software, where you're given software for free, like Linux, a free operating system, or OpenOffice, something we'll talk about next week, a free Office application as an alternative to Microsoft Office. OpenCourseWare is a free university that you can find on the web. And as a point of reference, I'll just look it up right now. I'm looking at right now OpenCourseWare Finder, which you can actually find up at http://ocwfinder.com. And you can search for anything in there. Like right now, I'm just looking through there now and I can see there's aeronautics. Want to learn aeronautics? Biochemistry, psychology.
Brain surgery.
Yeah, I think that's actually called something else. You can find anything and learn about it. Most of the things that you find on OpenCourseWare are not videos, but that's beginning to change as video courses are filmed, like lectures are filmed, and educational videos start to make their transition for the iPods. For just like we heard in that last news story, where kids are getting iPod touches in Australia and using them in their class. Same sort of thing is happening for regular people. And a great source for this, Apple will love this because it's true, is part of iTunes called iTunes U. And to hit it, just load up iTunes and visit their online section. You don't need an iTunes account to do it. It's not a paid-for thing. You just do it for free. iTunes U lets you search up courses like arts and humanities, languages, and you can learn practically about anything. It's a really great idea, and I've actually done some things myself. I've got on my iPod right now things to try and teach me Hebrew, Arabic, some aeronautics, some physics, and even some quantum mechanics. Like, if you're after this year to change, you know, your mind on things to learn and evolve that great big piece of gray matter that's inside your head, and you don't want to pay an expensive fee just to learn something. Like, if you're after the degree, this is not the way to do it. You know, you don't get a degree from OpenCourseWare. It's something that I have to make completely clear. It's only about the learning. It is not about getting the degree. You can get the knowledge, but you won't get the actual certification that comes with it. But if you're looking for a way to learn things, this is a fantastic way to do it.
Sounds good. Sounds very good.
You have any opinions on it?
I think that anything that encourages learning is to be commended. It's a shame that you can't get some sort of a certificate or a degree. But, of course, one of the problems with this is how do you authenticate that that I'm the one who actually did the study and did the test?
Well, you can't do that in a lot of cases anyway. I mean, I'm not wanting to start a debate here in the slightest, but a lot of the meters that we use for, like, Board of Studies are completely inaccurate as well. Like, grading entry-level requirements to get into a university based on the sheer amount of people who want to do that subject. Like, I quite like how visual designers have the highest UAI requirement, which makes no sense because you don't need to be intelligent to be a graphic designer quite frequently.
I did not say that. That was not me who said that.
Quite frequently evidenced by many of the graphic designers who have no idea about art or design, you do not have to be intelligent. There are some intelligent graphic designers. I won't deny that in the slightest. But I find it a bit troubling that UAI requirements, or at least when I was going to high school and university, were higher for visual design and graphic design than they were for, say, like being a lawyer or being an actual scientist. There's something very troubling about that concept.
Are you saying that lawyers are dumber than graphic designers?
No. I'm saying I think I'm saying the exact opposite, actually. That you shouldn't have to be intelligent to do you shouldn't have to get a high UAI, a high university index, to get into a course that doesn't rely. In fact, that's one of the things I think that the university index is flawed in the first place, but we're not here to talk about that. We're talking about free knowledge, and that's what education is. It's just a way of teaching knowledge to people. You know, most people will probably agree that knowledge should be free. Another great source for this is TED Talks. A TED Talk is a series of lectures done, I think it's one time of the year, and they're by some really fantastic scientists and movers and shakers in the inventing world, and they talk about some of the most brilliant ideas to ever be conceived, and they're free. TEDTalk.com, or TED Talks on Google, fantastic place to learn stuff. I mean, this open courseware initiative is only going to get bigger, maybe eventually, because you can take tests with open courseware. You can actually see the tests with it,
right.
But the tests don't count for anything because obviously there's no teacher there to grade them for you.
Okay.
So maybe in the future there will be a certificate enabled because we are, you know, we will gradually see long-distance learning really take shape through something like open courseware. If you're just looking at the One Laptop Per Child initiative, just works off of similar ideas like that. So maybe it'll evolve from that. But, you know, if you are looking to learn, this is a great way. So Google open courseware or hit iTunes up for iTunes U. Fantastic way to learn.
Excellent. How's our USB gadget going?
Yes.
How's your cup warmer going?
Well, see, I poured it in with cold water to begin with, thinking that it would actually be useful. I was wrong.
There's an admission.
Yeah. Hey, you admitted something tonight, so am I. My cup warmer was not doing very well. It has removed 1 hour of battery life from my laptop already. It's kind of hot. You can put your hand on it, and if you leave it there for more than 10 seconds, it'll sort of burn. The cold water wasn't doing anything. I filled it up with hot water during the Jason Mraz song, and it's still warm. It's still pretty warm.
Okay.
Like I would be satisfied drinking that if it wasn't, you know, dodgy kitchen water.
You're saying you took it from the kitchen, not from the bathroom?
No, I took it from the kitchen. I would fill it up with bathroom water, but I didn't want to stink up the shed that you've got here for Tuesday. The stench would probably still be around.
Oh, we actually add to the stench on Tuesdays for the shed.
With you here, that wouldn't surprise me. We were going to get that octopus in to replace you, but once again, he was doing other things.
Yes, his arms were otherwise occupied.
Pied, one of them. We've got a song next, haven't we?
We have indeed.
Another song.
Poe. Walk the walk.
Mother spent 10 years sitting by a window, scared if she spoke, she would die of a heart attack.
For breakfast with a difference, tune into Ian and Dee Dee's Breakfast Chill on 2RDJ every Monday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Broadcasting live right after the BBC World Service.
Listen to a beautiful blend of New Age, meditation and reflection, as well as news talk, health and well-being, entertainment and some fun and games.
Plus a mix of music from hot to chilled, contemporary to classic.
Tune in and chill out every Monday from 7 to 9 a.m. 2RDJ 88.1 FM.
We'll put you in the mood.
RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee Stark and Gary Stark.
I think he's around here somewhere. Just let me see if I can find him.
There he is, right after that little thing. Hey, you left it in this time. That was good.
Yeah.
And this is the Gadget Grill. And right now we're going to look at some small things. We're just going to check back on the USB gadget.
Some small things. How dare you? You're going to get personal, aren't
you? I'm not getting that personal. That didn't fade properly. It kind of just cut. Anyway, USB gadget, USB $3 cup warmer that came with the cup. You can't get cups for $3 these days, and with a gadget like this.
I know, it's amazing.
I should tell people that this cup warmer also has a rewind button that can rewind the USB plug back into itself.
Does the rewind button make your cup cool again?
It makes your cup into decaf again. I'll get one of my decaf strips and see if this water is decaffeinated.
How's it tasting, by the way?
Well, I'm not tasting it because we both put our fingers in to test for warmth, and Dad suggested we should have brought a thermometer. That would have been intelligent. Fortunately, you're listening to The Gadget Grill, where we don't offer intelligence. We just offer intelligent stuff written on paper that we're
reading.
Dare
I ask, which is the worst, your fingers or
where
the thermometer?
Don't. It's still warm. Like, it's still easily drinkable. If it weren't for our fingers being inside of it, I'd drink it.
Okay.
So we're going to look at small things. No game review, actually. I think I'm over the whole game review thing for here for the moment. We can talk about some useful reviews, like,
Oh, dear.
I know.
Heaven help us.
Like the App Store. This is something, did you get an iPod Touch or an iPhone for Christmas? Maybe you did.
Or for Hanukkah.
Or maybe you're just one of those school students who's got an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
We've been experimenting with the App Store this week and have been learning some interesting things about how it deals out in ownership.
Yes, it is. It is actually quite generous. It allows you to share your applications that you purchase, or your music for that matter.
Well, music purchased through iTunes.
Yeah, anything purchased through iTunes, you may share it with up to four other users.
No, computers.
Computers.
That's the key.
Sorry.
Yeah. Dad's technically got it on. You could share it up to four users, and that would be within the constructs of their terms and conditions.
The spirit.
Yeah, the idea is that...
I'm all for spirits.
The idea isn't so much just for sharing it up to four users. I can imagine Apple would chuck a huge fit at us saying it like that. It's more that, say you have several computers in your home, you can move them to and from other devices, so you can sync your iPod and your iPod Touch and your iPhone throughout your household.
If I took it on a boat and sank the boat, would that work?
That wouldn't be the same.
Okay.
I think you would have missed the point, and you would be one of those several hundred people who get irritated at random reasons. Anyway, you can, however, this is interesting. If you've got people in your family who want the application, I'm not sure if this is legal. I have no idea. Theoretically, in their terms conditions, it's technically not. Technically is, rather. You can give them the app, and once you've put your password in, your iTunes account information, the app works on their system.
Yeah. Which is quite good. And some of the apps that we've been playing with over the last few days are very, very interesting.
You mean some of the apps you've been taking off me?
No, some of the apps that I downloaded myself.
Ooh, this is a new step for you.
Yeah, the Memory Stick one is...
Ah, that's a cool one. Yeah, go on.
The Memory Stick one is very useful. It allows you to convert your iPhone or your
iPod Touch
into a Memory Stick.
This is a great thing to have, because if you think that... You don't want to carry a whole bunch of stuff, like an extra USB stick, an extra 16 gig stick.
I've got USB sticks, two USB sticks on my key ring, and when I want to put something on there, I've got to find my keys and plug it into the computer. This basically sets up a little web server on your iPhone. You then use your browser on your computer to browse to the IP address that you get from the application, the Memory Stick application. And you can upload and or download files from your iPhone to and from your computer, your laptop, your desktop, whatever. And that is just absolutely amazing. I actually used it today to do exactly that.
You know, I'm pretty enamored with the iPro recorder thing.
I
really like this. This is a great way for lectures, for journalists, for anyone.
Lectures, not lectures.
I didn't say lecture. I said lecture. It's just my C is very weird in pronunciation. You know, you can blame yourself because I lived in America, so certain things come out differently, okay? iPro recorder...
Is that talking about little things again?
We're not going here, are we? Yeah, okay. All right. The iPro recorder is a voice recorder for your iPhone, which is something that it lacks. There's a lot of things the iPhone lacks, as we've said in one of the first shows. This is a great little application because they've worked out that when you tip the iPhone upside down, or the iPod Touch, with the accelerometer, the program flips upside down and allows you to use the microphone on the bottom of the device to record things with. Now, obviously, first-generation iPod Touch owners can't, because first-generation iPod Touch did not have the microphone, but the new ones, I think, do, and the iPhone all does. And it's a really cool little toy. What are you playing with over there?
Oh, I'm going to show you something that I downloaded that you don't have.
You don't know
and,
that.
I think that once you see the screen that I'm about to show you, you'll be quite impressed with.
They can't see it, so you're going to have to describe it.
Well, I'm holding the screen up to the microphone now so that you can see it.
Oh, is that for App Store? Are you sure that's an App Store thing?
I can't remember whether that's
Be careful with that one. I think that's not an App Store one.
But anyway, what it is, it allows you to have copy, cut, and paste on your iPhone.
Now, if I remember correctly, that's not an App Store thing, and we cannot talk about what that's from. But actually, no, you can, because one other news announcement we didn't actually announce this week was that the iPhone 3G has been unlocked.
Yes, it has.
It's been jailbroken and unlocked, and you can, if you've got one now, if you're on the Optus network or Telstra network and you don't want to be, you can get off of it using this cool little piece of software that it installs.
Installs as a little demon, runs in the background, and it allows you to, for instance, take your Optus cell phone to America and use your Optus iPhone on the say the T-Mobile network.
Well,
which you couldn't ordinarily do.
Which is a shame, because the iPhones actually do run at their proper 3G bandwidth when they're in America. Here they don't. It's weird. But yeah, I can't tell you where to get it. You would actually have to go to Google and dig up iPhone 3G unlocked, because no one's really allowed to talk about it. We're just allowed to talk loosely about it. That's sort of the rule.
Well, that's where I come in, of course, being very, very loose.
Yeah, how great. Next week we've got, well, we're talking about, we're unsure about what we're talking about next week. We're going to talk about, what was it? We're either doing Google or we're doing HDTV.
No, we were going to do HDTV.
We're going to do HDTV, okay.
Yeah, that's right. We were going to talk about that on the way here, didn't we?
Yeah, we didn't really talk about it. So next week we'll actually talk about high-definition TV. There are a lot of people who got burned by this, which is a shame. The high-definition TVs that you buy these days are high-definition, sort of. But they weren't when people started spending on them last year and the year before that.
Well, of course, there's different types of high-definition. There's high-definition and there's high-definition.
I saw an advertisement today for full HD at 1080i, and that's not full HD actually. So
it's called marketing.
Yeah, it's not. It's called lying. That's what I said. Yeah, I thoroughly see the difference there. So next week we're going to talk about that. But coming up next, we have one final song before we broke. Before that was Charles Brown with "Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby," and right now we're going to end with Solomon Burke, which is "None of Us Are Free," a fantastic little bluesy, rocky song thingy. It's great.
And I'm going to say good night.
And I'm going to say goodnight, and I'll see you next week.
We shall see you next week on the Gadget Grill.